Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Claire White. She is an author, keynote speaker, CEO of Connected CX, a consultancy committed to solving business problems with customer-centric solutions. Welcome to the show, Claire.
Thanks very much, AJ. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome to the show, Claire. You are welcome to India in this online form. And I'm sure not just in India, but a lot of people across the globe will benefit from what we'll be talking right now. We'll be talking about how one can achieve business success. We'll talk about the six principles that you talk about for doing this. But my first question to you, Claire, is you have a lot of experience, you know, about customer loyalty, shopper activation, and all that stuff. You talk about that culture is king.
Yes.
And there's been this whole saying about that customer is king. So if we concentrate too much on making culture as king, where does the customer being king come in? Because without that, there is no business success. Help us understand about this aspect.
Exactly. So you have hit the nail on the head. Without people, without customers, you have no business. Without people, employees, stakeholders, shareholders, the board, you have no business. This is the people who make up your company. And without any of them, and again, we're coming back to people, you don't have a business. So I write a lot about this in my book, and a lot of the research that I've done, I did an awful lot of research as well as drawing on my own experience, suggests that without people at the heart of your organization, and I'm talking about employees as well as customers, you are not going to have a successful business. And I have had a really brilliant experience in a previous business of leading a culture transformation. So from where the business and employees weren't performing well, there was low morale, dissatisfaction, completely transforming that into a high performing business culture and ultimately growing that business. So I see culture as being absolutely fundamental, and customers and employees being fundamental to delivering on that culture.
Right, Claire. So if you look at the situation, you see every aspect of business is coming under scrutiny and is under great challenge. We already know the state of customer satisfaction, customer service, not just in one place, but across the world.
Yeah.
It seems as if, you know, the companies don't care at all. And almost every customer has a lot of, things to ask for. There is so much of, you know it, we don't need to discuss it too much. We all know it. Mm. If we look at it from the employee's perspective, you see organizations, they are already dealing with this great resignation, quite quitting very much on. So there also we don't have much of, solutions that have come out. And now everybody is dealing with, whether it should be hybrid work, work or work from home or that, those sort of things like that.
Yeah.
In terms of leadership, again, they are themselves passing through something called the leadership crisis, the crisis in leadership. And that is why I said all aspects of businesses are under challenge. How do you see when these businesses, when they talk about achieving business success, what are the tools they have in hand to actually get down to? Or is it that a whole overhaul of system, mind space, work culture, their whole understanding of business itself needs to be re-understood rather than just talking in thin air? Help us understand this part.
Great question. And I actually recently wrote an article, you can find it on my LinkedIn page if you follow me, about employee experience. And that does include talking about the Great Resignation. Now, the Great Resignation during COVID time, we experienced it. I think it was a global situation in terms of resignation. People were having to change the way they worked. And businesses were having to be hugely agile. And we heard the term pivot used an awful lot because companies were having to pivot. They were having to change to a hybrid working system, as you point out, AJ, really well. And ultimately what happened is people were prioritizing their work-life balance. They were realizing that actually they wanted more from their work experience. And that means it work and businesses aligning with their values. It means businesses prioritizing people and employees, development opportunities, enabling them to be able to fulfill their potential in the workplace. And I think, you know, COVID made them realize that some of their needs were not being met. And if you are familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, Abraham Maslow, he was a very well-known psychologist. He created the theory of motivation. And at the core of that, people have needs. And he identified five stages of those needs. And the first one kind of being the physiological, so you needing food and health. And then safety needs, so having security. And I think during COVID periods, that was really challenged. People were not feeling safe. You know, they were not feeling secure. Social needs comes next, which is all about friendship and engagement. And this is something, again, that was challenged during COVID because people weren't seeing each other. They weren't being able to be sociable. They weren't being able to feel part of a society and a community, which was had huge implications. And you talk about well-being there, AJ. I think this had huge impact on people's mental well-being. Esteem needs is next. So this is feeling kind of fulfilled and feeling a sense of belongingness, again, which relates very much down to something that was challenged during the COVID time. And then finally, self-actualization is, which is when you're able to totally fulfill your potential as a human being, but also as a person in a work environment. And these needs have to be met as an employee, but also as, you know, as a customer. If you think about some of the things customers need, they need to trust. They need to feel safe and secure in using your products and services, and they need to feel kind of the ability to do the job they need to do well with your product and service. So it all comes down. I really do strongly believe that we need to kind of think back to human needs on an emotional level.
Right. Right, Claire. So it looks like, you know, several of these businesses, they are also reading Maslow's hierarchy of needs very closely, and they are depending on only one thing. That is the security needs, the need for basic employment that people, and that is why they think that if we lose as many employees, it does not matter because people will still come and, you know, work with us because they need a job. So the self-actualization part can wait, or they can find their own self-actualization in the numbers they achieve. But actually, they are only banking on that people will need a job, and that is where we will get to keep workers. The quality of workers and all, that will matter later on. That's the big challenge in today's time. I wish there were a situation when employees had the option of not working at all, at least with these sort of companies that they did not want to, that there were other companies. Be that as it may, let's talk about business success. Then how should companies look at business success in today's time? Because do you think they should just look at the bottom line, those numbers, and that will be business success? Or should they now have a rethinking in terms of they look at business success? Or can they continue to be the way they were pre-COVID, post-COVID, and you know, continue to believe in the requirement that, you know, people will continue to need jobs, so they will come to us? How do you want to them to evaluate this term called business success?
So I actually want to speak to boards with this question, because if you go to a board meeting, board of directors, they will talk about people, employees, as assets. They don't talk about them as having feelings, needs. We talked about at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The impact of that is you will lose your valuable employees. And valuable employees are difficult to replace. They're also costly. So when a board has to focus on its EBITDA, its profit margin, they need to be thinking about, okay, I need to be treating my people. I need to be giving them a better experience, making them feel fulfilled so they will stay with my business and not cost me money. Because not only do you then have to pay the cost of recruitment, and you... At the moment, recruitment, I think average times to recruit is something like 3 months. It's a long time to recruit the right people. you can recruit the wrong people, but you'll have high turnover and they won't do a good job for you. So it's really short-sighted. You then have to pay for the training. It then, depending on the industry, will take a good at least 6 months to 12 months for that individual to become upskilled to the level of the person that left the business and to be able to deliver the quality of work required to drive the revenue that the board requires. So I think it's really, really short-sighted of them, the board, just focusing on profit lines, because actually they need to be thinking about what drives it and the impact of losing valuable employees, not thinking about the self-actualization and allowing them to fulfill their true potential is going to cost their business. And ultimately it will damage their revenue potential and damage, increase their costs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the question is, do some of these people really care? They companies keep on folding, new companies come in. Be that as it may, let's try and find some solutions here in the form of the book. You know, you have 6 principles for business success. You have written the book. You have got the power, 6 principles for business success. What have you talked in that book? Who is that book for? Is it for certainly these leaders or somewhere else? And which sort of business will read it? Or is it for, again, general leaders? Help us understand, what have you dealt with? Who is this book for?
So this book is for businesses that are stuck, leaders in businesses that are stuck. So we talked a lot about kind of the Great Resignation, high costs, declining revenue. That means declining profit. And these businesses that have to increase their sales at least 10% year on year, because it's always about money, not that I think it should be, they are having to make some really difficult decisions. And I believe that these leaders need to be re-looking at their purpose. So why is their company in business? What is their company vision? And the first principle that I've identified is having a really clear purpose. It might not be the purpose that you had when you started the business or when the business was first founded. The purpose may have changed slightly. Revisit it. Think about, what is the true purpose? And as a leader, how does my purpose align with it? Because you have to have alignment. You then need to consider your vision statement. So all businesses have a vision statement. It's the dream of what the business wants to be. It's something that employees can aspire to. It's something that employees can get excited about. And it means that everyone's going in the same direction because you've got a really clear North Star. That is my first principle for business success. And if a leader is stuck, relook at that and see whether actually you need to change those. Amazon recently in 2021 changed their vision statement to make it bigger, to make it more aspirational. Historically, they've been about being the best customer centric or most customer centric business. They changed that to becoming the Earth's most customer centric business, being the Earth's best employer, and having the safest place to work. Obviously, warehouses, dangerous places to work. So they've thought about safety and they've thought about a potential. So what the aspiration will be for their customers. Next principle is around having a really good business model. And again, business models may change over time. So relook at your business model. Make sure that your business plan underpins your business model. So your business model includes your organization, your purpose, your vision, the partners that you work with, your revenue streams, the products and services that you deliver. And then your plan will underpin that with the marketing, the sales, the how you're going to sell your product, how you're going to build it, and the for longevity. And Apple, obviously Apple Inc., very famous global business. They actually had a business plan for their Apple III computer created, I think, 1976, I think. You can go and find that online and you can read. It's a 30-page document, goes into loads of detail. It's a great place to start if you're thinking about reviewing and tweaking your business plan. Next, it's having an effective and collaborative leadership. Now, you touched on leadership, AJ, a second ago. Leadership is not simple. I also believe, and I outline this in the book, you are not born a leader. You might be born with charisma. You might be born with some natural affinities that can align you with leadership capabilities and competences. But you learn and you grow through experience. And the most successful leaders, and I touch on this in the book, I do tell a lot of stories to kind of support my principles. They were effective because they were collaborative. They had emotional intelligence. They listened to their people, so their employees and their customers. They were inclusive, which brings me on to the next principle, which is around having an inclusive culture that prioritizes the employee experience. So as I mentioned when we were talking about employees, the great resignation, why, what's important to people, it's making sure that you're continually evolving that. You touched on, could businesses just go back to pre-COVID? No. The world's changed. The world's changed irrevocably. And now you have to actually be future focused and thinking and listening to your people. Being inclusive, you know, accepting diversity and welcoming diversity, not just of cultures, but of thinking. I talk quite a lot in this chapter about Richard Branson. So he is the founder of Virgin, that I think most of us know. He is an amazing philanthropist. You know, he is all about people. And I think we can really learn a lot from him. So I do talk about that a lot in this chapter. The fifth principle is organization, innovation, agility and adaptability. If you're not innovative, you're going to end up behind the times. Your products and services are going to become obsolete. And if we look at COVID, it was businesses that were not agile and not adaptable that failed. So that's critical. And again, there's many, many examples and stories that outline this principle. And last but not least, a company that's focused on enhancing their customers' experience. Expectations are never higher than they are today. And I think, AJ, you touched on that. You know, customers will base their expectations of your business on the experience they had with their last interaction with any business. So the best interaction they've had is what you are competing against and you are trying to deliver against. So those form my six principles.
Absolutely. Good principles. And you talked about all these things about companies, you know, changing their mission statements, their vision. The differentiator will be always, you know, who just talks or who actually walks the talk. For whether they are walking the talk is for the whole world to see. And we'll continue to know about what these companies are doing actually on the ground. Again, be that as it may, there is much to learn about these things. Companies have to learn about these things. As you know, customers learn more about how these companies actually operate, either in terms of things on the ground or in terms of the actions they talk and whether they are walking the talk. There is much to learn from you, and I'm sure a lot of people would want to learn about these things from you, from your company, from your book. So what is the best way for them to connect with you, Claire?
So you can contact me on LinkedIn. So I am on LinkedIn, so Claire White, and I'm sure we can drop out the link to my LinkedIn. You can also contact me via my Connected CX company website. I'm also, if anybody is going to this in the UK, we've got the Retail Technology Show. If you're flying in to attend, it's an amazing show, Olympia, I will be there. So drop me a LinkedIn message. I'd love to connect and talk to you. But I often publish articles around customer experience, employee experience, culture on my LinkedIn page. So I really would like to add value to you. So please do follow me and read and engage. Share your experiences too, because I think this is all about learning from each other.
Absolutely. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KAJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.